In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was in college, I very briefly had a short blog that I called One of My Favorite Things. It started because I was always saying to my friends in the dining hall, oh, this was one of my favorite songs, or oh, that was one of my favorite pizza places, or oh, this is one of my favorite classes. And everything that I liked, no matter how important or unimportant it was one of my favorite fill-in-the-blanks. So I had this blog for about a year where I would, you know, post songs or videos or things, and it was always one of my favorite whatever it was. So I say to you this week that this is one of my favorite Sundays. Not just because, like the second Sunday after Christmas, it's always just the old crowd and there's not a lot of pressure after the big holiday, but also because I feel like this gospel, more than almost any other, is appropriate to who we are as Christians in the year 2021, as Christians in any year after Jesus' death and resurrection. So much of the Gospels, so many of the stories that we hear are about the time that Jesus spent as a human being on earth, teaching his disciples. And that's a very different relationship than the one that we have with Jesus. But this week, these stories are all about what it's like to be one of us, to be one of these disciples after the resurrection, trying to believe, struggling with doubt, and with fear and with faith, seeing all the signs that are not written in this book and trying to understand how they're pointing us to God. The first thing that I love about this is that Jesus meets us where we are. People usually take this kind of metaphorically, right? You see Jesus come to the disciples. He comes to them. They don't need to go out and search for him. They're locked at home and he comes to them. And it's more than just coming to them where they are. He comes to them as they are. He brings them what they need. He shows them evidence of his resurrection. And then when Thomas needs more evidence, he comes again and he gives Thomas that evidence. He shows him the holes in his hands and in his side. He touches them. He speaks with them. He visits them. He comes to them exactly as they are and where they are. And so in any year, we can preach about this metaphorically, but this year and last year especially, it's felt strangely literal. Jesus comes to the disciples where they are, behind the locked doors of their own home. Granted, they're together and not in their separate homes, but there's something here for us. Jesus can come to us wherever we are, whether it's within this church building or in our own buildings. However locked down we may be, Jesus can come to us. The resurrected Christ doesn't need to visit us with a physical presence, but can come to us however closed and locked our lives may be. But there's a second thing that I love about this passage, and it's that it connects so much with a very modern set of questions about doubt and faith. Maybe it's always been the case that people were uncertain about their religious beliefs, about their belief in Jesus, about their trust in this good news of the resurrection. But I think it's an especially modern problem to have. Of course, it turns out that it started from week one of the Christian church, doesn't it? Where Thomas, alone of all the 12, is left without that proof and wants more. The other disciples, of course, have it easy. Thomas always gets kind of a bad rap. They see Jesus. And then they tell Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Jesus has come and stood among them and greeted them, peace be with you. And so they simply tell their friend this good news. But Thomas doesn't believe. Thomas is not sure. Thomas says, I need more proof. Like so many of us, I'm not sure that I can believe this unless you prove it to me physically. And the remarkable thing is that Jesus does, in a way that's incredibly rare for any of us to get the answer to our prayers when we say, God, give me a sign. It's very unusual that it actually happens. But sometimes it does, in ways that are difficult to recognize, more difficult certainly than this appearance of Jesus. And then, amazing thing of amazing things, Thomas goes further than the other disciples. Thomas, who had the deepest doubt, ends up with the strongest faith, because where the other disciples had told him, we have seen the Lord, he recognizes the full truth of what's happened and says, my Lord and my God. This Jesus who taught them, who was their Lord, their master, is none other than God, God's self. And then Jesus gives us a little line at the end that I've always loved as a post-disciple disciple. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Blessed are you, in other words. Blessed are you, the readers of this Gospel of John. Blessed are you who hear it in church. Blessed are all of you who come after the age of Jesus, who come after his short years of ministry and his even shorter weeks of resurrection appearances. Blessed are you who have not seen, who have only heard, who have only read, who have only been told, as Thomas was, that Jesus is risen, but have believed in a deeper way than Thomas ever did, at least until Jesus appeared to him in the flesh. But it's these last verses that are really my favorite verses of the gospel. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Jesus did many other signs which are not written in this book. That to me is the power of the resurrection. This book, this Gospel of John, this book of the Gospels, this book, the Bible, can't contain all of the things that Jesus did and does, because Jesus' resurrection is not a truth of 2,000 years ago. It's an ever-present reality. The fact that Jesus is raised from the dead and will never die again means that he still lives and still teaches and still visits us behind closed doors. It means that he still walks among us, as difficult as it may be to believe, that he's still giving us signs of his presence, and he's still pointing the way for us and guiding us on our path. He did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, not just those disciples long ago, but in our presence, in the presence of us modern disciples. It points us as well toward the very last verses of the book of John, which I've always appreciated. There are many other things that Jesus did, he says. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Jesus' deeds in all our lives, as individuals, as churches, as a world, Jesus' deeds cannot be written down, not only in one book, but in all the books that could be written. The whole world could not contain him, because in the resurrection, Jesus is present in every moment of our lives with us. In every place where we go, in everything that we do, he is writing the story of the resurrection, and it can never be contained in our minds or in any books that could be written. So join in writing them, if you will, because we're not just characters, we're co-authors in a sense. We're human beings, not robots, not fictionalized protagonists, and we participate in the creation of this story. We read the book, to be sure, to look for the signs, but we also write the book with him, with our lives. So this Easter season, I pray that we may all look for those signs that are written in the books of our lives and in our world. And that we may, by the grace of God, join in writing a new story for ourselves in the resurrection life of Christ. Amen.